right, how are we downhearted? And you got to get your whistle going. So test it out. Can you whistle? Okay, there we go. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. Troubles may come and troubles may go. We trust in Jesus, come weal or woe. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. Yeah. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. Troubles may come. We trust in Jesus, come weal or woe. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. 70 and 71. All right, this side over here, you're over and over. And you guys are over the sea. You all sing at the same time, and then the second time through, you switch, okay?
Over and over, light of my sea, comes the love of Jesus rolling over me. Over the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Over the sea, over the sea, over.
Do it again, all right? This time you're over and over and you're over the sea, all right?
Well, sing with these, they sing better.
No. Let's see. Over and over on this side. Here we go.
Over and over, I just find your heart.
Sing. Now, number 77, and then we'll get to preaching here. Number 77, singing I go along life's road.
The trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebode. But at the cross of Calvary sing, praise God for lifted load.
Tonight, take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. I'm trying to stumble all over the place up here. How many saw me stumble just then? I'm stumbling more and more. I don't know what's going on. You need to pray for me. All right, well, I am finding myself, I don't know why. So, if I stumble while I preach, I don't know what will happen. I'll go flat down and get back. Okay, keep on going. I don't know. If that happened, here we go. Joshua chapter 9. We're going to look at this chapter here, chapter 9. And last week we were talking about Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. I'm not going to go through that again, the blessings and the cursings we were looking at what the law had to say and everything. But what we want to do is continue on with our study here in Joshua as the children of Israel have already crossed over the River Jordan. And I believe that's a type of the believer realizing that he is dead with Christ and risen to new life in Christ, and comes out the other side and now sees the new life in Christ that he needs to live and have his being in. And there's three steps here in the book of Joshua where we see the children of Israel coming over into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. Of course, you remember the first battle was Jericho, and then the second one was Ai, which they lost at first because they had confidence in the flesh. It all speaks very well, parallels to you and me in our new life in Christ that we have. And there are three areas here. We see that they've already entered into the land. They're there. And you enter into that land when you realize, and you, and of course we've been talking about some of this in Sunday school, when you know that you've been crucified with Christ and risen to new life in Him. You kind of like enter into the land. Then there is a need to conquer. And Joshua's doing that right now, and we're right in the midst of the portion where he's conquering the land. And to conquer the land is one thing, but then there's one more step, and that's to possess the land. We haven't gotten to that yet. And when we get to it, you're going to find that the children of Israel did not fully possess the land because they did not fully conquer the land like they should. They made some mistakes like the one we're going to read about tonight. So we're in this part of Joshua conquering the land. And then later chapters, right to the end of the book, all talk about possessing the land. Living in the land, growing the crops in the land, enjoying the blessings of the land. That's possessing the land. Are you possessing the new life in Christ? Or are you still in the conquering progress of it? Or maybe you haven't even entered in. There's a lot of Christians who live in the wilderness journey yet, and they haven't entered into the promised land. I hope that's not you, but I'm afraid there are a lot of Christians still wandering in the wilderness. Been saved, born again. Brought through the Red Sea, the Passover's been done for them, but they haven't entered in to the new life in Christ, to understand that we have a power within us to help us live this life for the honor and glory of the Lord. And so I hope that you get to that point. If you're not there yet, you need to know that in Christ you have all that you need to enter into the promised land, into the joys of the Lord, the abundant Christian life, the joy of the Lord. You need to have that. Do you have it? Do you have that tonight? Maybe you've gone back over Jordan, gone back in to the wilderness journey, and you're governed by the flesh instead of the Spirit of God. You won't have the joy of the Lord. You won't enjoy the possession of the land until you say, you know what? In Christ Jesus, I have new life. And he can empower me and strengthen me to live this new life for the Lord. Well, let's see here what happens in Joshua 9. And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan in the hills and in the valleys and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite. The Hivite is the name you need to remember in our chapter now. And the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. So the enemies gather together. I can tell you one thing about living the life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find there are going to be enemies all around. And they're going to gather themselves together against you as you seek to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the joy of the Lord, and seek to conquer the land for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake in your life. You're going to have enemies that are going to gather around. You got three main enemies right off the bat. Number one is yourself. Your own self. The old nature is still there and will be with you till you get to heaven. On the way up in the rapture, we're going to shed that old nature. And it's not going to be with us any longer. It's not going to give us a problem anymore. Won't it be wonderful then? Yes. And then there's another enemy, and that is the world. The world that we live in is constantly trying to keep us from serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, trying to transform us to be more like the world than to be more like the Savior Jesus Christ. And then there's another enemy, and that is, who's that? The devil. The devil is there, and he wants to try to ruin your testimony. and cause you to compromise and be less effective as a witness for the Lord. The devil knows he can't unsave you. He can't take you back into Egypt, you know. He knows he can't do that. So if he can't do that, then if he can destroy your effectiveness, your testimony, your witness, he will do that. So you've got enemies gathered around. Children of Israel are in the land. God's told them to go conquer it. And the enemies say, no way, you're not going to do it. And they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. Verse 3, we're going to go a little bit further here. And we're going to see that something very deceptive takes place to the children of God. Verse 3, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willily. Willily. That means crafty. Craftiness. Deceitfully. They were going to deceive the children of God. And that's one of the things the enemy will do. Try to deceive you. Well, let's see what happened. They did work willily. And went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. Maybe they could have got some of that bread out of your houses, right? You got some moldy bread. But that's what they did. They looked for the worst. Moldy and dry bread. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now, if you look where Gibeon is, it's right in the area here. I don't know if you can kind of think of a map here. You can see the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River. They're in this area right here is where they're at. Gilgal is over this way a little bit. Jericho is up here, and Ai is right about there. And so they weren't far away at all. They were right near. And so they came and they worked willily here. And verse 6 says, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, see, that's what they were, the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us. And how shall we make a league with you? You know, that tells me right away that they knew they needed to figure that out. They said it right away. Well, how do we know that you're not right near us? And one of the people we're supposed to destroy. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. And that would be the men over on this side here, before they came into the land. They heard about all the battles they had with those kings, as they were journeying on their way to come into the promised land. Verse 11, wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new. And behold, they be rent, and these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of the victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. That's key verse right there. That's very key, isn't it? You can see it, isn't it? Wow. Don't you wish you could just take that out of there and kind of straighten it up a little bit? You can't. You know, the Bible is God's book, not man's book. Man would have straightened this up a little bit. Wouldn't have made it look so bad. And the men took of the victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. This is what we will say is the wiles of the Gibeonites. They presented all the evidence to back up their words, but they were, and let's just say it, liars. They were liars. And folks, much like Satan's emissaries today, they lie and do not the truth and speak not the truth. And we must not do what Joshua and the children of Israel did. We must do the opposite of verse 14 and basically straighten things out here. We need to not take of their victuals, and we need to ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Let's take a look at how Satan does this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Oh yes, you have a formidable foe there, folks, in the devil. And look at what he does here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. That'd be 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, just like these Hivites did work willily, right? And transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Wow. It's good that we have this passage of Scripture in the Bible, because the deception going on, and I believe especially in these, the more end times, is even greater than ever before. And it was great at the time of the writing of the New Testament. It's certainly not better now. And it's more important than ever that we be students of the Word, holding forth the Word of life, that we might not be ashamed as workmen for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be students of the Word so that we can discern false prophets. It's not a matter of them just coming right up to you and telling you a lie in your face. These men are like, they transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. An apostle is a sent one, a messenger, a sent one of Christ. And they transform themselves to look like an apostle of Christ. Wow. The deception is great, folks. And I know I have a bad habit sometimes of lingering on some of the TV stations where the religious preachers are. I don't know why. I guess I just get a little bit annoyed at it. It just bothers me so. But I probably ought to just forget them, you know. But they are really deceptive. And there they are. And we're not talking about just a few people being hoodwinked by these individuals. We're talking thousands of followers and people sending money in to keep these ministries going. Today I lingered on Benny Hinn, and I'd been better off not to linger there. He just gets me more boiled up and angry, and oh, the stuff this guy says and does. And he was saying, when I turned it on, it was, yes, there's a liver out there that's not, well, you know, a liver out there. There's a million livers out there, and he's talking on the screen like as if he's healing one of them, you know. And you need to receive your healing right now. And then he has a table with a whole bunch of stacks of envelopes on it, and he's putting his hand on it there. You know, who does he think he is? Like as if he's Jesus Christ. He's transformed. You know, I believe he's one of these. I'll just be that bold to say it. Transforming himself into an apostle of Christ. And he is not an apostle of Christ. But a lot of people think he is. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Don't be deceived. The devil doesn't walk around with two horns and he's all red hot and everything else. He comes like as if he's a regular angel of the Lord. And he's not. He's transforming himself into that. And therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. See, this is where the deception comes in, because they put themselves over as righteous ministers. They speak on righteous themes. They take righteous positions even. But a little bit of leaven in there leavens the whole lump. A little unholy doctrine there sends people to hell, to destruction. They end up denying the very one who bought them with their teaching. Yet at the same time, espousing righteousness, encouraging righteousness. You might say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it is the little leaven of evil that's put in there. That's the devil's way. He's not dumb. He's very crafty. And these people were being led of the devil, I believe, to cause the children of Israel to fall for their lie. Now, much like his emissaries today. Let's go a little further. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we don't just have one verse in the New Testament giving us this exhortation. We've got several. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the New Testament, same word for willily in the Old Testament. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Oh, that Joshua had done that. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And that wicked there is the devil himself. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Joshua did not take counsel at the Lord. And he didn't pay attention to the Word of God, as you're going to see in just a moment. Colossians chapter 2, go a little bit further. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, we need to set our affection upon things above, not on things on the earth. That's what Colossians 3, verse 2 says. But these teachers will cause you to set your affection on worldly things. Follow the way the world does these things. You got a problem? The world's way to resolve them is the way to go, they say. Philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men. You need to get your help from the Lord. You need to get your counsel from the Lord. You having problems, having trouble in your life? You need to get your answers from the Lord. The Bible has the answers. God is able. He's able to help, and he wants to. And he's given us the best counseling book in all the world. It's on your lap there this evening. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter 1, 16. 2 Peter 1, 16. 2 Peter 1, 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Well, who's doing that? That's the devil. Yes. And that's men who follow the devil. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he's going to go on to talk about the importance of the Word of God. That you know the Word of God and you have a sure foundation on the Word of God. Don't just take man's word for it. Take God's word for it. A lot of people take man's word for it. Take God's word for it. Yeah. These kind of emissaries are seen in the religious world today. Christian Science, who teach mind over matter. Spiritism, which teach that there are seven levels of spiritual realm surrounding the earth, and you just need to work your way up through those levels. And you do it through spirit mediums and things like that. This is demonic teaching is what this is. And you've got Jehovah's Witnesses who do not believe that Jesus is God. You've got the New Age movement. You've got Roman Catholicism and dead Protestantism. Yes, ministers of righteousness for sure, but not showing the way of truth and the way of salvation according to the Word of God. They give ordinances, rituals, man-made traditions, philosophy, vain deceit, instead of thus saith the Lord. What was the failure here? We see it back here in Joshua in verses 14 and 15. They took of their victuals. They asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Prayerlessness. Joshua knew how to pray. We've already seen him pray. He knows how to pray. They didn't go to prayer on this. How often do we make decisions in the promised land, trying to conquer the land? And we, the children of Israel did that with Ai. They said, we'll just take care of this little town. It'll be an easy one. Instead of asking the Lord what to do and trusting the Lord. We need to go to the Lord in prayer. We need to learn how to pray more. We need to take things to the Lord in prayer. It's really wonderful to see how God does answer prayer many times when we go to Him in prayer. It's a wonderful thing to see. I challenge you to start praying even for the smallest, littlest things in your lives. If you aren't used to doing that now, I challenge you to do it. Well, let's just take it to the Lord in prayer. Husbands and wives, pray together and say, Lord, help us with this or that. Give us wisdom over this matter. Issues in the church, people who need to be saved. Relational problems and things like that. Take it to the Lord in prayer and talk to Him. He will help you. He wants to help you. And you'll be amazed to see this. Oh, that Joshua had done this. Now, what I want to do is I want to take you back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. They did not ask counsel of the Lord. Well, let's look. If they would have, what would they have seen? Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Something very interesting. I told you to remember the names of these people that came willily, all right? The Hivites. They were called the Hivites. They lived in Gibeon. They weren't from a far country. They were lying. They didn't have a long journey. They were telling a lie. And so, look here. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. Now, this is Moses giving the children of Israel the law of God. This was given before they even came into the land under Joshua. This information was already written down. It's already there. It's the Word of God. All right, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the who? Hivites. And the Jebusites. They lived in Jerusalem, by the way, the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me. And you know what? That's not just a suggestion. Possibly this might happen. They will, it says, turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. By the way, their groves are evergreen trees. All right. Verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. For the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore, and on he goes. Now, he's already told them what to do. Oh, that Joshua had said to the rest of the princes in Israel and said, you know what, guys, before we do anything fast here, let's consult the Lord. Let's go over the scriptures. Of course, they didn't have Bibles like we all have. They'd have to go and, you know, unroll the scrolls and read it out. They had scribes. They had the Levites. They knew the scriptures. They could go to them and say, "Now, Levites and scribes, tell us, what should we do here?" They could read it again to them and say, "Well, here's what Moses told us to do. Go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34. Did they have enough in the Bible to cause them to do the right thing? Yes, they did. Exodus 34, verses 11 through 17. I'll start reading. "Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the," who? "Hivite." Hivite or Hivite, I don't know really how you'd say it, Hivite. "And the Jebusite, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee." And Moses is telling them, lest you make a covenant with these people. Oh, that they had just read this, right? And taken the time to consult the Lord. I would say to you, the devil with his wiles is around you. You've got enemies gathered around you. You need to consult the Word, the Bible. You've got a problem tonight? You got a problem? Consult the Bible about it. What should I do? How does God look at this matter? The information is in your Bible. It was in the Bible for Joshua. Oh, that he had taken heed to it. Now go to Deuteronomy again, but this time to 20. Deuteronomy 20. Deuteronomy 20. And starting at verse 15. Deuteronomy 20, starting at verse 15. "Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance." In other words, for the cities that are nearby or in the land. Previously, verse, it was talking about countries far off, just like the Hivites were deceiving them into thinking they were from. But now he's saying, the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, in other words, the nearby cities like the Hivites and the Gibeonites, "thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites." Now, what was the will of God in this whole matter? The will of God in this matter was, Joshua, don't make a league with these people. Find out who they are. Take some time. Talk to the Lord. Read the Bible. Would you go back to Joshua chapter 1? Look at Joshua. Keep your place there. I want to come back and read that. Read more of that. Look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." This is directly to Joshua. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." But it says, they ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Going back to the Deuteronomy 20, verse 17, the Hivites, "as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee," verse 18, "that they teach you not to do after all their abominations which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God." Wow. The information was there. I tell you tonight that the information is in your Bible for the situations you find yourselves in. It's in there. You need to consult the mouth of the Lord. You say, "Well, but I'm not sure I can find it in there." You know, there's such a thing called a concordance. Get it out and find the word that you know is in there and find where it is and get there and read it. You know what else? There's also someone called an elder in your church who spends his time studying the Word of God. Ask him, "Hey, preacher, what do you think I ought to do?" And a good preacher will say, "Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Let's get an answer from the Word of God. And let's consult the mouth of the Lord." That's what we need to do. I encourage you to do that. And you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right, Joe and Chris? Rightly dividing the word of truth. The dispensations, right? You gotta do that with the word of God. And I would encourage you to consult the mouth of the Lord. All the problems that came as a result of this league they made with the Hivites. Their troubles just began here with these people. Their troubles just began. We're going too late, so I'm going to stop. Yes, the rest of this chapter, I encourage you to read it. Boy. You know what, folks? We must beware of all unions, councils, and organizations that unbelieving men establish in the name of Christian unity. We need to be careful of it and not fall prey to it. We need to consult the mouth of the Lord. And today, that's this right here, the Word of God. We need to be Bible believers, Bible students, Bible followers. That's what we need to be. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, help us to be found faithful to You as servants of God. Help us to be aware of the wiles of the devil and the deception that's there. And help us not to do what Joshua did here in this instance. And the rest of the princes also with him. They did not consult the mouth of the Lord. How often we do the same thing and get ourselves into such terrible situations as a result of it. And we miss out on the blessings of the conquering the land and possessing the land because we do not pay attention to Your word. And we fall prey to the enemies gathered round about. And they are gathered, and they are intent upon destroying our faith, our joy, our fellowship with You. So help us to be aware. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, folks. Go in the joy of the Lord. Serve the Lord this week. Consult the mouth of the Lord.